Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. With a distinctively Christian worldview approach to education, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God, and that is radically different than that epistemological system of knowledge taught by the system of education that is almost everywhere around us. Bill Jack in studio with me today as we take a look at the news. Once again, we see the powerful sovereign hand of a providential God working in the southeastern element of the United States, bringing the record storms that we have not seen since 1851. Looks like the most active hurricane season since 1851. That would have been, what, 160 years ago. And Irma-generated winds averaging just over 185 miles per hour for more than 33 hours. That's longer than any superstorm of comparable power ever recorded. So these are the strongest storms. So you want to know the power of Almighty God. Do you want to step back and see what God can do to entire cities, to entire states, countries are being impacted by these horrible storms coming up through the Caribbean? And I was hoping that it would cause some sobriety, Bill. I was hoping it would cause some fear of God, perhaps even some repentance at points. Instead, it just generated a bunch more hate mail for us.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because this latest storm, Maria, it says it's blown Puerto Rico back into the dark ages.
Yeah,
they're talking about the electrical grid being down for months.
And Puerto Rico being a territory for which the United States of America is responsible. Friends, you would think that America would be on its knees crying out to God for mercy. Instead, they will send hate mail to people like Franklin Graham or myself or others who are suggesting that there is a God in the heavens and we should fear him and we should repent of our sins. And the minute you say repent, man, that's when you get the hate mail. Especially if you want to suggest that we repent of sins that are representative of who we are, that is sexual sins. Or sins like abortion, in which we're finding America is wiping out hundreds of millions of children through the use of the abortifacient birth control pill and the surgical abortions. Well, the minute you bring in the American sins and you suggest that America might consider repenting against a God who is powerful and powerful in his judgment, all of his acts are judgment. And indeed, what he's done in the Caribbean are acts of judgment. Now, we're not assigning it to any particular sin, however, we are encouraging repentance. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So Jesus said. So we as a nation need to be on our knees, crying out to God, doing some soul searching, identifying what our sins are. Now we can suggest some of those sins, pornography, homosexuality, abortion, and so forth and so on. And we have noted that these sins have crept into Christian churches as well. So none of us are immune of any of these things. We're calling for all of us to a state of humility, contriteness, and repentance before Almighty God. But instead, whenever Christian pastors do this, they generate hate mail. And I've never, ever seen a letter tear-soaked. Never. Never. Americans don't mourn over their sins. Give me a break. It's been, what, 150 years since that's happened. Well, Puerto Rico now is taking the fourth storm after Harvey, Irma, and Jose. Maria now has hit Puerto Rico hard, as you mentioned. They're suggesting some $30 billion for Maria's devastation upon that island country. Irma and Harvey have already caused some $290 billion in reparation costs, and so it continues. Puerto Rico is in bad shape, though. Puerto Rico is already in bad shape. Puerto Rico has been in recession for 10 years, Bill. They're in $74 billion in debt. They haven't made a single payment this last year. They're defaulting even as we speak, and now the lights are out. It's not a good scene for Puerto Rico.
No. Why are they so in debt when we have an economy, a U.S. economy, that seems to be flourishing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
America is
yeah.
in debt.
Yeah.
We're all in debt. It's just these smaller countries can't absorb it as well as our nation that has just topped $20 trillion in federal debt, not counting the outstanding liabilities of some $100 trillion. Of course, household debt is much, much higher than it was in 2008 during the last Great Recession that affected the entire world. Friends, these are going to have significant impact upon the entire world. We're going to talk about the worldwide depression, not just the depression that hits the United States, but the worldwide depression that's soon to hit, next on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, Bill Jack in studio. And we're talking about the future of this country as we face these tremendous natural disasters. We are seeing economic disaster and, of course, social disaster all around us, with 57% of kids born outside of wedlock to millennials, up from 6% in 1960. So, again, friends, socially, the nation is disintegrated already. Economically, the nation is in process of disintegration. America used to be the strongest economy in the world. America became the strongest economy in the world in 1890, Bill, and held that until about 2014, where adjusted for purchasing power, America shifted under China. Now, way back in 2010, America was the top economy in the world, followed by Japan and China. Now it's China at the top. U.S. comes in second, India third, and Japan is fourth, adjusted for purchasing power. We're finding that these leading nations like Japan, the United States, are dropping off quickly over just the last 4 to 6 years. So here is a study by Stansberry Church House that looks at the world's 10 largest economies, comparing what we are in 2016 to what we will be in 2050. Of course, this is guesswork, but this is an economic powerhouse, Stansberry Church House, that has done this analysis, comparing where the nations will be. So again, America, friends, has fallen from its number one position that it's held for 110 years. America has been the proudest nation in the world. America has been the most blessed nation in the world by prosperity over the last 110 years. But remember, over the last 40 to 50 years, America has abandoned God. America has kicked God out of the public school classrooms. America has violated God's laws at the highest echelons of the land in just about every way they can possibly imagine. And so America is falling. America is not the America that it used to be. The median income in America topped out about 10 years ago, and now America is going down, and America is going down fast. So keep that in mind as you consider the slow but steady decline of Western civilization. Friends, the civilization itself is coming down. It's not just the abandonment of the faith. Abandonment of the Christian faith is followed by the destruction of an entire civilization. So keep those two factors in mind as we consider what is going on with the United States. And some have thought that perhaps the election of Donald Trump as president of the United States might mitigate some of this. But as it turns out, the CBO in July boosted its estimate for this year's deficit, governmental deficit, to $693 billion, which would be 18.3% higher than the deficit last year. 18.3% higher deficit this year than last year. And the United States federal debt has just topped $20 trillion. Remember, it was at $10 trillion in 2008. So friends, in just what? An easy 8 years, America has doubled its national debt and almost doubled its debt to GDP ratio over the last 8 years. Keep that in mind, that we are right now falling over the cliff, economically speaking. And those that are saying everything's okay, there's peace when there is no peace,
are, of course, encouraging lots and lots of investment in debted systems and debted programs, debted corporate interests and so forth. But that's because they're just trying to keep the whole thing going for another year or two. So a nation that is upwards of the fifth to sixth of all the nations in the world in terms of its debt to GDP ratio is not in a healthy condition. Keep this in mind, friends. We do not have a reason to be proud. Yes, America looks good. America is looking better than it's ever looked in the history of this country. However, America is in more debt than it's ever been in as well. So our debt to GDP ratio reflects that. It is interesting, Bill, that now these major economic powerhouses are suggesting that America would be falling to third place as the third economy in the world within the next 20 to 30 years. I think it may happen faster than that. They're assuming, of course, that everything's going to go on the way it has. This is not the catastrophism view, but this is more of the idea that the world just continues on as it has for centuries or for decades, as the case may be. But that will not continue, friends. That will not continue. It's interesting, according to this particular analysis, Germany, Japan, and the United States are the nations that are falling and falling like a rock. United States, Japan, and Germany are the nations they suggest will fall more dramatically than all the other nations. Japan and Germany being the Axis powers in World War II. But I can understand why Japan and Germany are falling as dramatically as they are. Their birth rates are imploding big time. And if you've been to Germany, at the least, you're going to see a great deal of hopelessness in terms of the society at large. Graffiti everywhere, Bill. Graffiti everywhere. Almost every flat surface in Germany has graffiti on it. Obvious deconstruction. The worldview is obvious.
Anarchy.
They do not have the will to carry on the empires that have been built by previous generations. Anarchy, yes. Deconstruction, the will to carry on the civilization in Germany, gone, gone, and gone. They're not going to be able to carry on their civilization, my friends. It happens when man has come to the conclusion that he is alone in this universe and there is no purpose and meaning in life. He is becoming epistemologically self-conscious to his own teleology. He has no purpose for life. And therefore, these gigantic empires that shake the fist in God's face and tell him he doesn't exist will be the nations coming down the hardest and the fastest within this next generation or two. The United States will probably drop even further than all the others, as I see it. But it's also interesting that China and India are the nations that are doing the best and will probably be the number one and number two nations in the world within about 20 years. In fact, China is already at number one, according to this estimate. And America and Germany are dropping off the chart. It's also interesting that China and India both have growing Christian populations. And America and Germany's, what's happening to our Christian population, Bill?
Well, I think it's declining.
Big time.
Big time.
Big time. Do you see much influence of the Christian faith in Germany these days? Well, I was just there and I'll tell you that very, very slight. There's not much interest in the large churches. They're mostly museums. They're not being attended. The youth are not attending. The youth aren't interested. As we noted most recently, there is much, much less interest in the Reformation doctrine of Luther than there was 500 years ago. It's maybe only 2 to 3% of the population even halfway interested in the doctrines that Martin Luther taught in Germany. So Germany and the United States are fast chucking their faith overboard. And of course, the nations are fading away and will not be the strong nations, the prosperous nations that they once were. Meantime, Japan and India have growing Christian populations. By the way, Japan also never received the Christian faith. We served as missionaries in Japan. My brother is still there, but my family served as missionaries in Japan from 1969 to 1985. And during that period of time, I think we might have had 6 or 8 or 10 converts. But Bill, it was not 20% of the population. It wasn't 2% of the population. It was about 0.1% of the population that was interested in the gospel. And Japan has never been interested in the gospel. I think the reason is because Western materialism hit them too quickly. These developed nations that receive the Western worldview of materialism as quickly as Japan did discovered they had no use for God. Wasn't it
General MacArthur who begged the churches of America to send missionaries after the war?
He sent the message home that we needed to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we didn't do that. I mean, there were obvious reasons we didn't, but at the same time, Japan embraced the materialism of the West because they recognized their worldview was that if you are defeated, then you would need to adopt the victor's ways, but they didn't adopt Christianity.
They adopted the materialism, they adopted the birth control pills, they adopted abortion, they adopted everything that was ugly about the United States, and they've imploded their birth rates and destroyed the worker to retiree ratio, and the once strong family unit does not exist anymore. And so, you know, Japan has been the victim of all of the worst parts of the Western materialistic worldview that we exported to them. And they will soon discover that it was a disaster. In fact, they're discovering it right now as they go through their multiple recessions and attempt one last time a Keynesian approach to fractional reserve banking in hopes that somehow they could salvage their economy by way of a worldview of a homosexual. All right, my friends, China and India both have growing Christian populations and their economy doing very well. Thank you very much. America and Germany, their Christian population disappearing and their economies also slowly but surely decreasing, at least in terms of its worldwide influence. Birth rates for the richest nations are all hovering around replacement level or down below replacement level. China and Brazil's are very, very low, despite the fact that they are fairly up and coming economies. And for that reason, Bill, I don't think China's going to survive. I don't think Brazil's going to survive. I don't think these nations are going to survive. I don't think any of these nations are going to develop another empire. People have asked me whether I believe there will be another empire after the Holy Roman Empire, the Spanish, the French, and the English, and the American Empire of the 20th century. Will there be an empire in the 21st century that will rise? I don't think China's empire will rise because of their wholesale embracing of the Western worldview and imploding their birth rates by way of the birth control pill, the forced abortion program, and all the rest. They have destroyed their social systems by way of this Western approach to birth control. And for that reason, I don't believe that China or Brazil will become strong empires in the years to come. Now, all these calculations are guesstimates. The fact of the matter is, Bill, I think there's going to be a 52-card pickup on the worldwide economy in the years to come. I don't think we can draw a straight and clear line to where things are going to be in 2050, despite the efforts of Stansberry Church House. On this edition of the Generations program, let me suggest to you that we will see something of a worldwide depression. A worldwide depression at this point, I believe, is inevitable. The 2008 recession affected the entire world, but the next depression will be significant and it will be worldwide. We're not in the 1929s anymore. We're getting beyond the point at which a depression will affect only a local nation here and there. No. Now our debt situation is so international. Our trade situation is so international that if there is anything of a depression that hits the United States or any other major nation like Japan or Greece or Germany, friends, we're going to see a domino effect like you have never seen before. So keep that in mind as we move into the future. Friends, a worldwide depression, I believe, inevitable. Here, check out the global debt to GDP ratio. We've talked about the United States. We've talked about Germany. We've talked about Japan. But have you checked out the global debt to GDP ratio? It rose from 120% in 1983 to 325% this year. Bill, that's a huge increase. And check this out, Bill. There was no reduction in the global debt to GDP ratio after the 2008 recession crisis, which means that the world did not learn its lesson. Instead, the world increased its debt big time since 2008. Friends, we are on a drunken sailor spending spree around the entire globe. This is where we are today. Remember that since the crisis, the debt to GDP ratio on the global basis, that percentage rose from 200% to 325% in just the last 8 years.
Whoa.
Okay, as the global depression hits, how do Christians react to this? Folks, we're going to start seeing the Band-Aids not working as they used to. How do we react to this? Well, The fact is that the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. We are going to learn that lesson again and again. The pagan heathen nations have learned again and again that their idols cannot save them, and this nation will learn that Donald Trump and the Federal Reserve System will not save them. John Maynard Keynes will not save them because in the long run, we're all dead. A famous quote from Keynes himself. In the long run, we're all dead. So at some point, John Maynard Keynes will not help you. At some point, the Federal Reserve System will not help you. At some point, the United States federal government buying up all of the bonds, the United States federal government handing almost $1 trillion over to the World Bank so they can salvage the banking system, is not going to work anymore. Friends, at some point, we're going to find out that Dagon is going to fall on his face and the god of materialism is going to choke big time. And Bill, I think that's going to happen within our own children's lifetime. I think it's going to happen in the next 20 years. Now, I may be wrong on this one, but friends, we are right now out of control when it comes to the global debt to GDP ratio, up from 200% to 325% in the last 8 years. Wow. We haven't learned our lesson from the last global recession. The next depression is going to be a wingdinger, big time. And so we are going to teach our children that materialism has failed us. And existentialism, that is living your life for your own pleasure for the moment, is a total failure. The gods of money and power governments will prove to have failed, and we will say, hallelujah. I guess we should have just trusted God, worshiped Him in thanksgiving, and worked to not live beyond our means, which always happens when people fall on their faces and worship their stuff. God have mercy on this nation. God have mercy on us.
Amen.
People are going to discover the fruitlessness of worshiping the money god. So you say, well, how does this affect us? Well, put family worship above your work. Put family worship above your entertainment. Put the worship of God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You come home, you've lost your job. What do? You gather your family around, you lift your hands in the air, and you praise God and thank Him for all of the blessings with which He has blessed you. And you trust Him for your future provision. And you prove that to your children every day. Every day. Oh, do not sink into the depths of anxiety. And do not sink into the depths of unthankfulness. Friends, it is unthankfulness and anxiety that prove to us that we have the wrong God. Our God provides. Our God is good. Our God is a source from whom all blessings flow. Let's praise Him for it. Let's thank Him for it. Let's teach our children these things. And when the Great Depression hits the world, we haven't been worshiping that God for the last 50 years. So what do we care? We trust in the true and living God who is the source of our good gifts. Well, in conclusion, live simply. Don't go into debt for some big expensive house. Learn to live in a 400-square-foot house. And remember, God is in control. And when these nations fail to pay their debts, who knows but a major world war may ensue. But it's for us to learn the lessons. It's for us to trust in God. It's for us to trust in the sovereignty of God, realizing that God is always in control. It's for us to remember to live simply, to live a life of thanksgiving and to not go into debt for all this stuff. Well, as the time progresses, I think the Christian church is going to have to speak more relevantly to these things. The church is going to have to be more real. As I think about the future, Bill, I think the church has been faking it. We're going to come to the point at which we're going to realize we can't mask the problem anymore. We can't mask it with debt. We can't mask it with psychotropic drugs anymore. And we're going to come to the conclusion that this world is in trouble, that sin is the issue, and we really need a savior, something besides the state, something besides psychotropic drugs. We're going to need a savior, a real savior. We're going to see that sin is real, but Christ is real, and the salvation that God brings us is real. And that's going to be a powerful message to share with the nations. I think what the church needs is to be more real, more direct, more in your face. Not less in your face, more in your face, in a loving and a direct manner. And we present the real problems. And this is what we attempt to do on this radio program. And then we bring the real solutions to bear. And the real solution is that God provides a redemption for us in Jesus Christ. That is, he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, to really save us from our real sins. And it's not a fake salvation. It's a real salvation that completely restores all things and reconciles us to each other and to God. Well, that's the message, I think, on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing us directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. We try to bring worldwide issues, worldwide concerns, the worldwide sins, and a worldwide redemption to every nation around the globe through this radio program available anywhere around the world at this URL, generations.org.
And remember, Romans 5:20, where sin abounds, grace abounds the more.
That's right. That's right. Wherever we're dealing with sin, we begin to see sin as the real issue, the fundamental issue, and the issue that has taken us down. Then that's the point at which we remember that grace is the salvation that God brings to us. And it's overwhelms all of the sins of our lives, the guilt of our lives, and the corruption that sin has brought to our lives. Well, friends, you can again interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Friday, the first day of fall, September 22nd, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Rockland Academy Charter School near Sacramento, California, is not conceding anything to parents who want the school to ease off on the transgender agenda. The charter school welcomed a transgendered 5-year-old this year, and made news when another 6-year-old child was reprimanded for, quote, misgendering, unquote, the transgender child on the playground. After a 5-hour meeting with some 500 people present earlier this week, the charter school board voted unanimously not to allow children to opt out of transgender education. According to LifeSite News, 23 students have withdrawn from the school, but the administration is quick to point out that they have 1,300 kids on the waiting list. Proverbs 28, verse 9 reminds us that he who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. He who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit. Carlos Mercado, a spokesman for the Puerto Rico governor, called it, quote, total devastation, unquote. Hurricane Maria has come and gone, leaving Puerto Rico in the dark. For what could be months, the electrical grid is completely dead for 3.4 million people. Some areas have received 30 inches of rain. Now the storm is pounding the Dominican Republic. Reparation costs could run as high as $30 billion, a tough scenario for a country $74 billion in debt. Puerto Rico has not made a payment on its debts this year and is on the brink of bankruptcy. The Congressional Budget Office is forecasting a substantial increase in deficit spending this year, 18.3% over last year. President Trump has signed another order to bring more sanctions against North Korea. The Treasury Department will be commissioned to target firms and financial institutions that do business with the hermit nation.
Our new order will give the Treasury Department the discretion to sanction any foreign bank that knowingly conducts or facilitates significant transactions tied to trade with North Korea.
Following up on Trump's comments on North Korea at the United Nations, Kim Jong-un issued a statement in which he announced he is more than ever committed to follow his chosen path to the end, including, quote, the highest level countermeasure, unquote. Reuters reports that China's central bank has instructed Chinese banks to cease business with Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea. A U.S. district judge in Minneapolis has ruled that a Christian media group must produce wedding videos for homosexuals as required by the Minnesota Human Rights Act. Alliance Defending Freedom is planning an appeal to the Eighth Circuit Court on behalf of Carl and Angel Larson of the Telescope Media Group. A group of homosexuals at Biola University is protesting the professors who have signed the Nashville Statement, which asserts that homosexual behavior is a sin. The group points out that the Associate Dean of Students at Biola, Matthew Hooper, created a campus group called Sustaineer, which helps homosexual students to, quote, live authentically and lovingly with same-sex attractions, orientations, and identities, unquote. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That family farm in Michigan, which was banned from the farmer's market, is back in. A federal judge issued a preliminary injunction allowing Steve and Bridget Tennis of Country Mill Farms to return to the East Lansing, Michigan farmer's market last weekend. The city had banned them from participating because the family was known for holding to a biblical position on the sin of homosexuality. A lawsuit is in the works. For the fifth year running, Muhammad was the most popular baby name in England last year. Republicans will try one more repeal of Obamacare next week. The bill will remove the mandates and defund Planned Parenthood for 1 year. Support for the bill among Republicans remains coolish. The man who saved the world, Stanislav Petrov, has died at 77 years of age. A computer operator for the Soviet nuclear arsenal in 1983, he received the command to launch 5 times. Petrov made the judgment call that it was only a computer glitch and refrained from pushing the buttons that would have initiated nuclear war. He made the right decision for all of us. Thank God. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Friday, September 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.